Why do I have to be a toy?
Because you have Bonnie's name written on the bottom of your sticks.
Why do I have Bonnie's name written on the bottom of my sticks?
Because she... Look, she plays with you all the time, right?
Yes.
And who does she sleep with every night?
The big white fluffy thing?
No, not her pillow. You. All right, Forky, you have to understand how lucky you are right now. You're Bonnie's toy. You are going to help create happy memories that will last for the rest of her life.
Huh? What?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Doing it for Bonnie. Doing this for Bonnie. Doing it for Bonnie. Okay. Like it or not, you are a toy. Maybe you don't like being one, but you are one nonetheless, which means you are going to be there for Andy when he...
Who's Andy?
I mean, Bonnie. You have to be there for Bonnie. That is your job.
Well, what's your job?
Well, right now, it's to make sure you do yours.
Carry me.
No!
Scratching at the surface now, and I'm trying hard to work it out. And so much has gone misunderstood, and this mystery only leads to doubt. And I didn't understand. You reach down and take my hand.
So, hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas the Dog Disney Plus.
Do we need to talk? Do we need to like decide on a communal Disney Plus so that I can sign up and see if you can just log in?
Okay.
Sure.
Because I know it's available here.
Yeah, yeah, it's out right? In Canada. And,
I just
and
haven't
Canada
done
okay.
It because partially I heard a lot of server issues on day one.
Yeah, second, it was a real
right?
Garbage.
And I was like, look, I can let it sleep for a few days before I even try. Right. And secondly, I think we talked about it last week about the whole streaming service thing where I was always kind of like, do I really want Disney? Like, I know there are a couple of shows I want to watch that they're going to do, which is the Star Wars and Marvel shit. But do I really want Disney?
But Andrew, 4K Condor Man.
Are you sure? Because I've seen people talking about Simpsons and I don't think you can... Promise me there's 4K Condor Man anywhere.
Of course I can't promise you, but I can hope.
Speaking of hope, they made some edits to the Star Wars
yes,
movie.
Yes, they did. And people are going crazy.
I found it interesting.
I'm annoyed, but...
I mean, at this point, it's just a joke to me. But I found it interesting nonetheless. Like, seeing all of the stories come out and people discovering that the edits that are now in this one... is straight from George Lucas. I wonder what fucking deal George Lucas made when he sold those movies, where like he gets first option before they post it anywhere to say, you sure you don't want to make any more changes? And he's like, I got a couple, give me a minute.
I mean, I feel like that deal also included, don't give us the originals. And the one thing that I'm annoyed with really doesn't have anything to do with those guys because they can do whatever they want. It's theirs. But... I obviously am one of the people who want to watch the original ones. And I actually at one stage owned the original ones. I had the limited edition DVDs. And I would be fine even just having that, ripping it and watching it. Except when I decided, when I figured out, you know what, I should just rip all of my things onto my computer so that I have it all the time. I put all, and I don't know, it's like the world just... You know, the Star Wars gods were like, nope, none for you. All of those DVDs, all three movies, were just readable. You put it in the drive and you're just like, yeah, this is scratched beyond a comprehension.
You watch it too much.
Apparently. So I had to straight up steal the, what do they call it? Despecialized version. I think they call it the despecialized version.
That's tremendous.
And so I have that on the computer, on my box. But I would like, if fucking Disney or anybody is listening, I am willing to pay you almost any amount of money for, obviously I'd prefer 4K, but fuck, even like an HD version of the original. Thank you.
It is my sincere hope that every 5 years, George Lucas adds more to this movie.
Yeah, that also would be a fun story.
I hope every decade he changes this movie more. Till in like 20 years, it is just unrecognizable as the movie.
You know, Damien, have you ever heard that whole theological or logic? I think it's a general logic question of, if over a span of 10 years someone were to change every board and nail on a boat, at the end of the 10 years, is it the same boat as it started out, right? Or is it a completely different entity entirely?
Schrodinger's boat.
Is it the same Star Wars now? How many years gone by since when it first came out, Damien? Or is it just a completely different movie?
I am like the last person on earth to ask that question, because I'm one of the few lunatics that change both music and movies.
But also, Damien, this is actually something, and I don't know if you really want to talk heavily about this. I think I've actually discussed this with you guys to a certain degree before, but this is the sort of thing that brings up conversations about the preservation of movies. And it's all nice and fun, especially you, Damien, who kind of wants to love stabbing at Star Wars people, to kind of look at this Star Wars movie and be like, ha ha, that's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
But imagine, say, if this were The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, right? And people were just changing it every 5 years. And more importantly, in this day and age, when a lot of movies aren't getting physical releases and they're only available in digital formats, where people can't actually own a copy. You can only be a Netflix subscriber and just stream that movie. They can change that shit next week, and then it's no longer the same movie, technically. Like, people are having those conversations, and I think it's weird.
Andrew, don't get me wrong. I see 1,000,000% that this is a real problem. The fact that Disney is refusing to give anybody the OG version of the movie is complete horseshit. Like, I understand that you don't like the version of the movie you put out. But once the movie is out, allow people who enjoyed that version of the movie to have that version of the movie.
Yeah.
Even if you think a different version is better. When Furiosa came out, he was like, that movie should have been in black and white. He's wrong as shit. But that is what he wanted. Now, if they took away the colored version and said only the black and white is the author's intent, you go, that is completely ridiculous and beyond the pale. And the fact that the Star Wars people have been doing this to you guys forever just proves to me that, as much as I think I'm an asshole, I would never. As much as I change the movies that I don't like, I still keep the original version of the movie. Because if people come over and want to watch the movie, I don't want to, even though I think my version is better, I am not psycho enough to go, and that is the only version of the movie. It's the reason I keep albums that I have edited heavily, because if someone asks me for the album, I'm not going to give them my version of the album, because I'm not a psychopath. So I get it. It is hilarious that they've done this to you guys. and you keep supporting. Like, this is a thing where you go, if all Star Wars fans would vote with their money, and I understand it's hard because of the emotion and you grew up with it and so on, I get it. But if you guys said, we're boycotting all Star Wars things till you put out the OG version, Disney would turn that shit around immediately. Like, if for this new, now that the Disney Plus thing is out, if everyone said, here what, we're not signing up to Disney Plus and we're boycotting all future Star Wars movies until you guys fucking fix the old one, they'd fix it. If this new movie comes out and make 25 million,
3 million downloads day one.
You're right.
Yeah.
If you guys went, all right, we're all canceling it and we're not going to watch a movie. If opening week of the Star Wars movie, it made 25 million and it was like a direct line. It's just people going, we're not paying for this until we get all good Star Wars. No matter where they'd have to dig it up out of George Lucas's ass, they find it and give it to you. But then no, they have you over a barrel and it sucks. It happens with video games a lot too, where they change shit and the version of the game you remember no longer exists unless you go through some mind-bending hoops and piracy and all sorts of shit, which is unfortunate. So I get it. It is funny though, because this is the only movie they've done this week.
I completely appreciate it.
Hilarious.
As one of the people that are feeling the hurt, yeah. I definitely it appreciate the the humor to it.
And if they're going to do this, I want them to quadruple down.
And the sad thing is, people like me and Andrew, we would pay so much money.
Yeah.
And if they, even if they did, because what they actually did with the DVDs that I had is, you got two DVDs. You got the one that you wanted, and you got a coaster that has the garbage new shitty one.
Yeah.
But if they even did that, right? Yeah. Where they had, the only way you could buy it is if you bought every single iteration, so it costs like $1,000. I would pay that ASAP.
Yeah. But they're dicks.
Yep.
I'd buy a Zatoichi level box of Star Wars, even though I only want three of those discs.
Yep. Yeah, it wouldn't matter what you needed to do to get it. You'd still buy it and get it. I'm that way with movies. To get Ikiru, I had to buy a Japanese box set of movies that I've never seen and don't know what they are, to get it. And then, like, a couple of years after that, you could just buy it regular.
Yeah, Criterion got it, and they're like, here. Right.
But there's nothing changed on that. Can you imagine if the version I saw and fell in love with, you're just like, no, we're changing that shit.
First of all,
it's no longer in black and white. Just like,
you motherfucker.
I'm still upset that I didn't put my money down and buy the Chinese version of the Grandmaster. Because I can't fucking find a copy of that anywhere. There's only the American edited version.
Only the good one?
Shush. We're talking about versions we like.
I haven't watched it, but I just assume that Weinstein knew what me and Damien saw.
Yeah, Kung Foolery. It's like, this volleyball talking is unnecessary. Cut that shit out.
But anyways,
that
aside, sponsored by Disney Plus, please don't sign up until we get Star Wars and Simpsons incorrect aspect ratio. Not that I care about Simpsons, but I kind of don't like the aspect ratio change. No, but I'm saying I don't care about Simpsons.
Yeah, I know.
And I think Netflix, Netflix or Hulu? I think it's Netflix had the same issue when they brought it out. Mm-hmm. We'll see what Disney does.
Yeah, like 4:3, no one wants that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing when they did the Wire Blu-ray releases.
Oh, I remember that. It was so
still good. Have not bought anything since the DVD box. I should rip the Wire. I haven't ripped the Wire. I should rip the Wire. But yeah.
You should watch Peaky Blinders.
Yes, you should.
Mm.
Fucking British lazy ass fuckers still don't deliver my Peaky Blinders Blu-ray.
You don't have to tell me that I'm still waiting on
seasons 1-4. I'm here waiting.
Anywho, what?
Moving right along. We're here to talk about movies. And more importantly, we're here to talk about The Farewell. The film, the latest film from director Lulu Wang, starring Awkwafina alongside with all sorts of other actors who we're not very familiar with, I feel. In the story of a young girl by the name of Billy who finds out that her grandmother has cancer and is going to die. And the family has all decided to come together to go and meet their grandmother, but not tell her that she has cancer. And in the mix of all of this, has decided to have a false wedding for one of their cousins to be the guise for the entire family coming together to see their eldest matriarch one more time.
What's wrong, Dad? Please tell me.
Manan is dying.
She doesn't know, so you can't say anything. The family thinks it's better not to tell her.
Why is that better?
Chinese people have saying, when people get cancer, they die.
We have to go to China.
Wedding is an excuse so everyone can see her.
He's my only cousin. Don't you think I should be there?
You can't hide your emotions. If you go, Nathan will find out right away.
Really?
And the film is centered all around Billy and her grandmother, Nai Nai, played by Xu Zhen Zhao. I'm sure I ruined that name, but I apologize.
Sony
after
perfect.
The fact. yeah. The Farewell. I had seen this movie earlier this summer and fell deeply in love with it, as the rest of the world did. And now it finally has come a time when you two lazy people can catch up. Douglas, you are the number one least feeling person on this podcast. What did this movie make you feel?
I felt nothing when I watched this movie, because I haven't watched this movie.
Yes. Damien, what's the count here? Like, what's the count here at this point?
4 out of the last 5 movies.
It's not
which,
my fault.
Which one did he watch?
You guys fucking decided not to talk about.
That's 4 of 5.
Which one did he watch?
I watched Portals.
You watched Portals.
Douglas, we have already apologized for Portals. Not all of the movies are Portals.
No. We don't have to apologize because he didn't watch the 2 on the run-up to Portals. And he hasn't seen the 2 since Portals.
I watched Moussa Nightingale.
He's doing this right. Douglas, you're doing a tremendous job.
I know. I actually have it, so it's not rentable, unfortunately.
It is now.
Probably now, like this week.
Like literally today, before you guys came in, I rewatched it as I got from work, rented it, and watched it, and then while we're talking.
It is a movie I want to watch. I hope to be able to talk about it by the next podcast. Yeah. I've got homework.
I think it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, there we go. If they let me pay for it, I'll watch it.
I know they don't want any of your filthy Jamaican money.
No, they do not. My goddamn ganja-infused money.
I mean, it's barely worth anything right now. It's just been dropping like a rock.
My money's only green because of the weed it's inside of. Yeah.
That's tremendous.
So, Damien, moving along to you. Did you watch Awkwafina cry at her grandmother?
Yes, actually. So the lady that wrote this movie, she was a producer on This American Life. And so about 7 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, a couple years ago, she told this story on the This American Life program. And at the time, I really enjoyed the story. In China, when you're getting bad news, they deliver it to a family member, especially if you're very old. Because they put the onus on the family to make the preparations and get everything ready and decide whether to put additional stress on the person that is sick by telling them that they're actually sick. And in the story, she had said that because she grew up in America, they don't do that in America. And she was against them keeping this a secret and going through this charade. And at the time, I had played this segment for my mother. And we, because we're basically the same person, I agreed with the Chinese family in not telling her, because in Jamaica, we have a concept. It is, if someone says it to you, it's not a positive. We in Jamaica call what Billy was doing be enough. It is when you think you know better, and so you try and impose your views on other people. Also a shortening for people who are know-it-alls. And so when I heard that this movie was coming out last year, because they repeated it on the This American Life program to inform everybody that the movie was coming out, they had mentioned Awkwafina, but at the time, me and Awkwafina weren't the best of friends. And so it's funny thinking back now, I'm like, oh boy, a year ago when they said the name, I was just like, please no. And now, not so much. I like her. And so I was really excited to see the movie. The problem I'm having is that I think I'm in a book to movie translation problem, where when you hear the story, you can put all the pieces together in your head. You build the world for yourself. And so when they translated it on film, it wasn't as special as I had hoped. They still tell the same story. Awkwafina's performance is more than adequate. And all the people do their jobs. And you get to see how you'd go about. The part that I really enjoyed watching in the movie is watching everyone interact with her while pretending that there's this wedding. Because the wedding is just the guy has a new girlfriend and they're pretending to get married so that they can, you know, spend what they thought were some final time with their grandma.
So quick question, Damien.
Yes.
How long do you think that relationship lasts now? Because at this point, they were dating for 3 months. They went through a sham wedding.
Yep.
And they went through a lot of sham wedding.
Yes.
How long do you give that relationship? Is it done already at the wedding?
If the fact that she was willing to go through all of that to help both his family and him, I think that, like, if the relationship ends, I'm fairly certain it would be on her side. Like, that man can't leave that lady. It is a wrap for, even if she's the worst woman in the world, he can't leave that lady. She though has an out, but they seem to really like each other, and maybe this brought them closer together. That is not really the part of the movie that they kept focused
on. No, it definitely isn't the focus, but it's something that I focused on in my mind a lot watching this movie. Because
he can't leave that girl.
Because there's so many parts, like the wedding itself is a big comedic point in the movie where every time that it kind of leans into the sad of we're dealing with this thing with the grandmother, you still have the joy of watching things like, and stuff they had in the trailer where like the grandmother is like forcing the girl to like put on the guy's shoulder for the pictures.
Right.
And you're like, and you're just looking at this couple and you're thinking to myself, how many people can survive this, especially that early in a relationship?
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Should look into that. They're real people. We should be able to find out. Anyway, let's stalk them on the internet. The long and short, like the thing about the story is that Billy is against, like she's adamantly against the family doing this. It leads to her falling out with certain members of the family. She's not at all pleased with the situation. And so, but because it's told from her perspective, you don't get to see a lot of what the other family members have to go through. It's her story. And so you spend a lot of time with her. And at the end of the day, the grandmother, like, they go through all of this, but the grandmother doesn't pass away. In fact, she's still alive today. She's lasted, I think, 6 years or something like that. So they don't tell her, and then she doesn't. So now the family is divided.
So there's I just people, want to stop here. Yes. We need to stop here. Mm-hmm. I did not know this about this movie.
Yes.
No. Guys, I no longer want to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. Here is what I want to watch. I want to watch the movie about that couple that you guys were talking about uh-huh. a while ago. During that 6 years after, uh-huh. when they're too fucking embarrassed to tell them, yeah, we thought you were going to die. So, whenever they are around that grandmother, they're married.
Right, so she lives in China. So they're far away from
her. No. They're in Japan. Movie. Right, the couple is in right. Japan and the grandmother's in China. Guys, so there's at least distance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Guys, there's a movie. We can come up with some serious movie logic to get them to move around so that they see each other enough for this to be a hilarious movie. All right? And, you know, even when they break up, you know, he has to pretend. Then, you know, she broke up, but she's a decent person. So she sees her, she's a grandmother walk right. on the other side of the road and is like, shit, I'm going to have to, mm-hmm. you know.
She has children and have to pretend mm-hmm. that these children that look nothing like her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The part of the movie that I wish they spent more time with, and I understand why they didn't, because you don't really need to. They didn't spend a lot of time with her going back and forth with the section of the family who decided and, you know, went through with this plan, executed on this plan. And her and a few family members that thought it was a good idea to tell the grandmother. Because what is happening now is the people who believe that the not telling her kept her alive are at odds with the people who, even to this day, because she's still sick, wants to tell her. But if you tell the grandmother at this point and she dies, everyone will blame not the fact that she was sick before, not the none of that. Because there's people giving her alternate types of medicine. Everyone is doing their best to keep this lady alive. But the not telling that is killing Billy. And so she still is unclear whether or not she should tell the grandmother or should force it. But you can't get that done. And then something happens because then the whole family will turn against you. And it is that dynamic that I wanted them to spend a lot more time with. But they didn't, because it would ruin the flow of this movie. This movie is fine. It just wasn't as special as I was hoping. But I can see why Andrew, and by extension, the rest of the internet, has fallen head over heels for this movie.
Yeah. I have a feeling that this is one of those movies where you say, did you like The Big Sick? You're going to love this movie.
I pray to God that they don't do that.
But, I mean, based on what you guys are telling me, it's that kind of movie, right?
Yeah, but
I mean, it's a little bit. Yeah.
Big Sick. I saw The Big Sick. That movie is good.
Hey,
no, it's not.
Right. Fuck you.
This one is good.
The Big Sick is great.
This one is good. Okay. It's just not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So it is. That's why I said it's like the people who read the Lord of the Rings books and then watched the movie and went, that is not what I wanted.
It's true. I mean, I was that person, but then, well, actually, no. I was that person in the sense that
there were certain things where it's like, oh, that's not how I viewed it, but I still love Lord of the Rings.
Right. So I can still see this movie for what it is. It's still good. Yeah. It's just not what I specifically wanted. But it, The Big Sick is not good.
No, it is not.
I have eyes and watch that movie, and it was not.
I hate both of you.
I understand. It doesn't make the movie any better.
It does. Me hating you hating actually me does make the movie Big better.
A better movie.
All right? And hating you makes The Farewell actually better. So, you know, it's just how the logic works here. Right? It's the reason why you guys think that War on Everyone is a good movie, right? It's hate. Not love. Hate. But yeah, I spoke about this movie a while back. I love this movie. I love The Farewell. Actually, rewatching it today, I think took a little bit of the sheen off of it. So, like, I did a little readjusting of my list. I've been doing, like, an ongoing list of the movies of the year, which is non-binding. It's just me messing around to see how things feel for me. It's an experiment I'm doing in trying to see if the end of the year becomes easier for me. But who knows what'll happen. But I still do love this movie, part of which is entirely on Nai Nai and Awkwafina and all of the characters in this movie, which come off as amazing characters. Like, there are... And it's weird to say that about real people, but you also know that when people write movies, they exaggerate. So I can't assume, I don't assume any of these people are fully reflective, right? But the characters of this film is amazing. Like, everyone has their moments. I think one of my favorite moments in this movie is in the actual wedding. When the family is playing this drinking game and just picking on the groom. And it's amazing to me. Like, I spoke already about the couple that are having this sham wedding. They stick out so well that I love the relationship that Billy has with
a big wedding.
Sorry,
is it a big wedding or a small wedding?
It's a somewhat big wedding. Like, there's a big banquet, but you.
I love that Damien sees exactly where I'm going.
Were you about to ask if it was a fat wedding?
No. If it's a small wedding, then it would you say perhaps that it is a baby sham wedding?
I hate you so much. Which makes this movie that much more better, because I hate you so much.
See my face when I heard him say it. I was like, oh no.
And the best part is that, yes, that artist actually had a couple of songs that went beyond our borders, but I guarantee you 99% of the people listening to the podcast are just like, why is that funny?
Six people what in Jamaica that? Know what a baby sham is.
Do I have to put baby sham in this podcast?
No.
Yes, you do.
Don't do that.
But yeah, I just love the feel of this movie, because it's just one of those movies, and I actually hadn't thought of it in relation to The Big Sick until you mentioned it, Damien, but it does remind me a lot of The Big Sick in its vibe, not necessarily in the story or anything of its sake, but just the way it presents itself. It has this, it plays itself like a serious drama of these people trying to get through this moment and everything. And the comedy just kind of comes from random places. There's the moments of watching the mother argue with her daughter about how she's reacting to the news, right? There's even the silly moment early in the film when the father is telling his dumb dad joke about explaining bad news to somebody.
There are some tremendous dad jokes in this movie,
right? When the guy was telling him the story of the cat dying and such, and it's fun. Like, I loved all of those moments in this movie, and this movie is just filled with those moments where I leave this movie where every character kind of stood out to me, and I remember them, right? Dawn down to the aunt who's talking about having the argument about China or America and how China is better opportunity to make millions. And all of these things going down the road, that is what makes this movie special to me. I mean, the story kind of stands above all of that, because while, as Damien puts it, you're being enough if you kind of look at this story and you just kind of want to be like Billy, where you're like, how dare you do that? But if you just lean into the story and kind of just deal with what it's actually proposing to you, this concept of not telling them because it's your burden to bear, not the elder. Like it's a very touching story that I felt, right? It's not something we talk about on this podcast, but it resonates, and I really loved, I was in it, is what I'm trying to say in 5,000 words or more.
It is a very good, very thought-provoking story, and it doesn't feel unlike, there was another very popular movie, was it last year or the year before, with Chinese people getting married.
Crazy Rich Asians?
Yes, that was a movie of much import. This movie is just the story. These people are the nationality because that is the story. It is not forced. There's nothing. It is just these people grew up in different countries. There's different ways of dealing with things. And she being American is very self-centered and self-righteous, but she's dealing with a society where they put the burden on the younger people to take care of their elders. And so that is what was endlessly fascinating to me about the story. And just watching a different culture deal with a situation that at some point all of us will have. If you live long enough, you're going to have this situation come up. And so before hearing this story, I didn't even know that was an option. That you could just go, no, don't tell them. You can deal with it. But give them, especially when it is something supposedly terminal, give the people a chance to, you know, continue living their lives, how they built it all these years. Her argument is that, you know, if you knew, then you'd change your lifestyle. You'd, all of the things that you'd want to do, you'd get done, and so on and so forth. Which is one way to look at it. The flip side of that coin is that you'd find out that you're dying and panic nonstop, because that is what you do when you know you're running out of time. And so I didn't know that there was an alternative. You could just not tell people and move on. And
also, this movie does something I love, where they make comedy just out of filming. There's a scene where they're at the grandfather's gravesite, Nai Nai's husband, who's long gone, and they do this thing where she's just calling out for blessings, and they're doing the triple bow to each blessing, and then like as it keeps going, it's weird to see these things where it just feels naturally funny just watching the scene linger and continue on and on throughout as long as it goes, and eventually when characters just go like, oh my god, how many blessings are we doing, like this is the kind of funny that I love, because it feels like a natural funny. It feels like the kind of thing that isn't funny in the moment, but as the week goes on, you tell that story to other people and you find it funnier and funnier as your life goes on, and you keep telling that dumb story of this simple dumb story of how you went and you had like to do 30 rounds of bowing because your grandmother wanted to bless everything on the street. Yep. Right? And then the story gets more and more ridiculous as you continue in life. Right? And that's what this movie feels like to me. It feels like they've told this story so much that they've shined on all of the comedy without making it look like an obvious joke, but it's still funny, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I love this movie. And Douglas, you love this movie.
Sure, I do.
Douglas will never.
One thing though.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, Lulu Wang's The Farewell is officially Tom certified.
Anyways, Andrew, have you seen future movies? Or we should make Douglas talk. Douglas, what have you seen? Because you didn't talk about this movie.
I know one thing he didn't see.
Uh-huh. I wonder what that could be. All right, I don't have a lot to talk about, but in keeping with,
really, Douglas?
In keeping with the, all right, first things first, I watched Howard Hughes' origin story. Actually, I rewatched a Howard Hughes origin story. It goes by the name of Booksmart. Have you watched this movie yet, Damian?
No.
Oh my god, you so need to watch this so you can fully appreciate that joke.
It will be done this weekend.
Damian,
I don't have Jack Ryan to
I've
watch.
I've watched it like 4 times already.
I understand, but I have other things that I needed to watch.
It's so good. Because, and it's so watchable. Listen,
I have to clear things out of the way because when the expanse starts, I'll be useless to everybody.
Fair enough. But okay, on a real though, we'll go back to the theme of is it funny? Does it funny? Mm-hmm. Was it funny? Let's start with it was definitely funny. Damian, you and I can talk about a fellow by the name of Daniel Sloss.
The Slossness Monster.
Yes, he has a new Netflix special.
Not on Netflix.
Not on Netflix. It is on HBO.
It's on Hobo.
Because I'm very upset. I'm happy that Damian knew this because I would never in my wildest dreams have gone to HBO and said, HBO, do you have comedy? Even though I remember now when I was young, I used
they
to.
Were the only
they
ones
were the
that
ones. Yeah. And every once in a while, Showtime would be like, Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. But it was all HBO. I should probably check more on there. No? Okay, I guess not. But they brought Daniel Sloss. And Andrew, you've watched the Netflix Daniel Sloss, right?
I have not. I have been told to.
I don't want to talk to Andrew anymore.
Andrew Robinson.
How am I more upset with Andrew and Douglas didn't watch a movie we're supposed to
Andrew, you need to watch that. You also need to watch this one.
Watch Peaky Blinders.
That too.
Don't watch Daniel anything. Watch Peaky Blinders first and then find other things to watch.
Yep. So Daniel Sloss is amazing.
He's tremendous.
He is very funny. He does great stand-up. And he also, how he described it in this one is, he, and I think he said the same thing in the last one, he takes his job seriously in the sense that he gives you an hour. He gives you an hour of dumb jokes, of, you know, just stand up, and then he tries to make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. He ends with something that I guess he feels is either important or serious or something like that.
It's funny for, he knows what it's funny for him to do this.
Yeah, but not even just that, right? So it was clear in the last one that he was like, guess what, guys? This is not just serious. I am going to laugh at you. It wasn't so much that this time. This was more, I have an important thing to say, and I will then also make it a little bit funny. I'll jazz it up. Mm-hmm. But he does that thing where he has hour of stand-up, and then maybe another half hour, 15 to 20 minutes, somewhere in that region of space, of I'm going to speak about a pressing, relevant, socially relevant topic. Mm-hmm. And he did that well as well. Yeah. Guys, listen. Daniel Sloss is amazing. He, you know what it reminded me of, actually?
less, what's the word? A less devastating version of Nanette. I'm pretty sure I spoke about this. Have you watched this? I really like Nanette. Right. Again, another one. That's not her name. That's the name of the special. Yes. I can't remember her name at the moment, unfortunately. But that's another comedian that was hilarious for actually a shorter time in her version, maybe a half an hour. But then was like, all right, guys, guess what? I'm pivoting. And she pivoted way harder than this guy did. But this guy pivoted and... I don't even know if I really want to talk about specific jokes. It's just all good.
No, you should watch Daniel Sloss if you've not watched Daniel Sloss. And enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
If you... Listen, you'll know 15 minutes in if you're... If you enjoy comedy.
Let's just say he loves children.
Yeah.
All right.
Why can't I say that I love children? I love children. Man is correct.
Yes, he is.
I have a few follow-up questions for that statement, Damien.
Yes.
But we'll proceed. We'll talk. We'll talk outside of the podcast.
So that is literally how he starts his stand-up. Mm-hmm. Damien just quoted Daniel Sloss. And the whole point of that joke is that people have those questions.
Right, I know. I was just playing into it, but okay.
I know. Yeah, I know. But, I love it.
It's very good.
So... The next thing that I watched, and I will be upfront and say I haven't watched all of it. I've watched maybe 20 minutes, but I'm in love and should have known I would be in love is Jeff Garlin's stand-up special on Netflix. Andrew, have you watched this?
I've seen the trailer for it. No, I have not watched it.
Oh no, that sounds like you're not looking forward to it.
I mean, I kind of looked at it and went... I don't trust him for stand-up and kind of went on, moved on. Is it good?
You need to watch his stand-up.
Or is it just for dirty people like you who like that Goldberg show?
No, it is not. First of all, remember there's Curb, right? You like him from other things, okay? So, you know, you should think about that. But, no, he's genuinely funny.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Are you sure?
I'm very sure.
I watched it.
No, you didn't.
Clearly, I did not.
He took something,
the midnight bus.
Something that I learned about him, he says it in the stand-up, but I learned about this before because when I was still listening to Mark Maron, I listened to his interview. Is that how he approaches stand-up generally is he gets up on stage and talks. He just goes with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can tell.
He actually didn't do that, or he claims he didn't do that for this one. Shut up. he claims he didn't do that for this one, which is why he talked about it. He's like, you know, people are paying me a lot of money, so I do actually have a set here, but... Just to let you know, normally, this is not how this goes. Mm-hmm. And actually, so far, I don't want to say funniest, but some of his really funny moments are when you can see he breaks and just starts fucking around. So, like, there's a point where he stops and talks with this guy. I think his name is Jamie in the crowd. Who is there with his friend from college, Lydia. And he goes on a very long storytelling mission about how they need to get together because there is a movie version of them that is not good and will not work out well for any of them. And then he makes fun of a couple of other people. It's cool. His crowd work is good, but his... His actual jokes are funny as well. Damien is just a heartless monster who does not appreciate a man who laughs like all the time.
I will defend Damien because unlike another person on this podcast, he watched the movie we were supposed to watch. So there, I know one heartless person and I know it's not Damien due to this fact.
Remember, Damien didn't like the movie as much as you did.
Does he have a heart?
He has more heart than you.
Yeah. But yeah, no, on a serious note though, Andrew, you should try watch the show. I really like it. It's so far. Good. It's awesome. He's
incorrect.
He's funny.
Nope.
I kept laughing the whole time.
That doesn't mean it's funny.
We laugh also, a lot. I straight up didn't realize he actually laughs like that. Well, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he pulls what I imagine Carr pulls.
Jimmy Carr
pulls. Where that is definitely not his laugh.
That is 100% Jimmy's laugh.
That cannot be his laugh.
That is...
That is a... It may have become his laugh. That is an affectation, I think we call it.
You're saying he did a Tom... why have I forgotten his last name? Oh, shit.
Tom Green?
No, the... Our singer we like. Guy Andy who's... Aurora? No, the singer. The guy who's
Tom
in...
Tom Holland?
Guy who's in Mr. Men... and Seven Psychopaths. Why have I forgotten his name now?
Oh, Tom Jones.
Tommy Lee Curtis.
I hate you so much.
Tom and Jerry? Boy? Tommy Boy?
Thomas Jane.
As you guys continue.
Dick and Tom?
Uh-huh. Tom Waits. God fucking damn it. He pulled a Tom Waits. He just kind of kept gruffing his voice young and suddenly right. Now he just sounds like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair enough. I was going to say I've watched Jimmy Carr for long enough, but it's like I didn't see him until he was already big in England, so he might have started his performance from well before that.
And to be fair, things like that, that's habit. Tom Waits has damaged himself. He sounds like that because effectively, I mean, he probably also smokes because why not? But effectively, by just talking like this, he's treated his vocal cords as if he was just chain smoking. Yep. Yes. But yeah, Jeff Garlin, guys, please just watch it. I love it. I haven't really watched anything else.
Incorrect.
I've been watching sports, I guess. Sports and work. Yeah.
God, I love sports. Someone actually asked me if I saw the Liverpool match. I just walked past it. I don't even bother answering the question. In your office. I just walked past it. I'm just like, I can't do this. Too early. It's Monday. I don't have time for this.
So, Damien, a couple months ago, my office, we all went out and we went to do a company activity. Right.
Oh no.
We went axe throwing, which let's not talk about that specifically.
So white as shit.
However, it. I was appeased because when we got there, I got to be in front of the TV playing the Bayern Munich game.
Okay.
So I was like spending 80% of my time just watching the TV.
Right.
And then one guy came by me and said, "Andrew, can you not watch football?" And I went, "Why not? Why?"
And you just went. I will leave this job. I will resign today.
Oh, Lord. To be fair, he has a point. They are throwing axes. Are you sure you want to be not paying attention at the people that are throwing axes?
I don't think the TVs are near the area where you throw axes.
It's facing. Someone would have to intentionally throw the axe at you.
Yeah, they'd have to turn around and throw it at you.
Again.
Right?
And they're throwing axes.
They're Canadian. They're,
probably... they're too nice. I mean, there are a couple non-Canadians, but yeah, for the most part, Canadian.
Yeah. I've seen throwing axes on television.
Why? What were you doing?
I was watching TV.
Don't do that anymore.
It was actually, I think I've seen it on a news item somewhere, but also I saw it in that show I like, Billions.
Okay.
So yes. Douglas, is there anything else you want to talk about?
He said sports.
I'd like Disney Plus to allow me to fucking pay them.
That would be nice.
They moved to America.
Well, no, I don't want to move there anymore. There was a time, but especially nowadays.
Except for the past 4 years or so, it's been tricky.
I mean, it's been tricky this whole time, but I've been kind of pretending like it's not. Mm-hmm. But no, you can't pretend anymore.
Yeah.
I would potentially move to Canada, Douglas, but it's far. Douglas, and I don't think they want
you're from a shithole country. The people don't want you. Anywho, I watch me some TV shows. I saw...
Oh, we need to watch. We need to talk about a TV show. Have you watched the Circus TV show that you didn't watch last week? The Polar Express? Yes.
No.
Oh, man. Still we should talk about that. Still I haven't watched this week's episode yet, though.
Have you seen... We all saw Watchmen?
Yeah. We can talk
about that. Yeah, we're still talking. We're still watching Watchmen.
Yeah, this is the first filler episode. Nothing happened in this episode.
Wheels and wheels.
Right, I said this to Douglas, but this is my problem with watching TV shows week to week. Because Sunday at 12:30, after I finished watching football and then proceeded to stay up late and watch this TV show, it felt like it wasted my time.
Yeah, and that's always bad because you and I are in the same boat where we'll go to... That means we have to go to sleep at somewhere between 12:30 and 1, which is not fun.
Which is not... Right, because I have to wake up and go to work.
Exactly. And to be fair, I can afford to wake up a little later because I live in the real world.
Right.
You, I'm sure, you wake up from super early. I have to wake up from,
5:30.
Yeah.
So I'm already shortening my sleep by an hour. Mm-hmm. And when that hour feels deliberately wasted, I have a full week to just be disappointed in the TV show.
Yep.
The first 3 weeks, I was hyped and so was looking forward to the next episode. This week did not do that, and so I'm contemplating just waiting out the rest of the series. But now that it's kind of a part of the routine and it's really the only show that I'm doing this with, I think I'll stick it up.
Unless
this week's episode is also trash, then I don't see myself doing it.
So when I watched the show, I had a similar feeling of the wheels turning.
Yes.
But I definitely did not have as negative a response as you did. I remember thinking, kind of sniffing the air and saying, I smell Game of Thrones.
Yes, yeah, right.
But it wasn't, it wasn't burning yet. No, it was more of like a slow sizzle.
It's not terrible, but it's the first week, like 3 episodes in, they were going in a direction. This is the first, and especially because they started the episode so strong with Lady True, right? Building these people a baby and demanding that they give her the land. It started with a bad, and then the rest of the episode just fizzled out. I am no closer to understanding anything.
The thing that annoys me I wonder if I'm starting to think that maybe everybody does see it, but if everybody sees it, why are they trying to hide it? Things like, oh, this child is your clone, and they make like a swipe at it. But if you really want it to be a big reveal at some point, don't even make it a thing. But when you start to pan the camera in a certain way and say certain one-off comments and you keep her that young for a certain amount of time, which actually might just mean that they've gone through another cycle,
right?
Come on. It's annoying when things like that happen.
Yeah, but the reason you had the time to really process that is because there's nothing else holding your attention for that, for the 50 minutes or so. Like, it was just... Anyway. But we'll see come Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see. And again, that was just the one thing that is a pet peeve of mine. Yeah. I actually didn't mind the episode. It was fine. But it is definitely getting to the point of,
Yes, the Game of Thrones.
Where it's Game of Thrones.
I too smell a rat.
Westworld.
Oh God! Please no.
No. You demons.
In fairness, Westworld.
Oh, I'm still watching season 3. Don't get me wrong.
Westworld.
But I know what that is.
Was trash from episode 2. We just didn't realize that it was going to continue being trash.
Mm-hmm.
We assumed they'd pivot at some point and make the show good. Mm-hmm. They just never did. It just kept getting worse and worse. And you couldn't believe it because the premise is so awesome. That at the end, season 2 might have been the most angry I've been at a TV show in a good long time. It's nice that the trailer says that they're pivoting away from that in season 3. But I will need outside confirmation because I'm not watching that just by myself. I'm not a cool kid. I finished watching Jack Ryan Jack Reacher, whatever his name is.
Reacher is his middle name. Actually, it's Reacher Around, but
the last to Reacher. The big reveal in the end is super dumb.
Yeah, I told you, this season is not... I guess I was right. It's not as good.
So dumb.
Mm-mm.
That final episode is really bad.
There's a reveal in the end?
Yes. The senator.
Oh, yeah. You see, I don't even consider that. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that whole final episode is flat out stupid.
It's White House dumb.
Yeah. I don't know who told them that they needed that, but it's real dumb.
Yeah.
And was unnecessary. The rest of the season is nowhere near... It's not... up to season 1 standard, but
it was fine.
At some point it felt like they were trying to do too much with this season. There's too many moving parts.
And I'm kind of upset that they've put a scenario into play where Bonk may not be in season 3.
Yes.
That's not cool.
I was more annoyed once they killed the lead assassin
guy.
And then continued telling a story that, first of all, how they killed him.
Actually,
and then having more story after that. That show should have ended there.
When I was watching the show and he first came in, I remember thinking, I know, where do I know you from? I know you from somewhere. And I kept looking and thinking. And then I realized, wait, I think it might be from season 1.
Who is this?
Just the one of the army guys in Jack Ryan.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is he somebody? Because I still have not watched any Jack Ryan.
No, he's from season 1.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I just realized how dumb I was. That
the reason Douglas remembers him is because a year and a half ago he was in the first part of the show.
Yeah.
He's a psychopath.
So you haven't even watched the first season, Andrew?
Nope, never did.
The first season is great.
I like it. The second one is for those of us who... just want to watch more, but it's not as good.
Yeah. The second one isn't as special, which is a little sad, but on the whole, it's fine. It's okay, right. TV. Speaking of things that is getting progressively worse, this isn't for you. Andrew, My Hero Academia is trash. This season sucks. It's 4 episodes, and it is doing the thing that I was impressed with it not doing the first 2 seasons, where they did not waste time. What was impressive about this is that they would go from thing to thing, and every episode mattered in the story they were telling. This is just garbage.
All episodes matter, man.
Yeah, all episodes matter. Pepsi should run on that. It's just bad, and it is making me very sad.
Damien, don't you know only the last 4 episodes of an anime matter?
That didn't used to be the case with this one. This one used to be good. Speaking of things that is bad and is progressively bad, and I should stop but can't stop, The Good Place is trash.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Oh, luckily they're stopping The Good Place for me. It's not going to run on like Flash and Supergirl and all those TV shows that I don't watch anymore. I'm glad that the show is ending, because it is a major, major disappointment to keep watching this. Douglas said that Carlin's stand-up is good. He is incorrect. It is ungood. Do not listen to him. Aggressively bad is what I would say it is. You can shake your head all you want. Won't make it any better.
How dare you, sir?
And did I watch anything else? Oh, Rick and Morty's back.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to talk about that. I watched that. You watch that, Andrew?
I did. I did finally watch the new episode.
Mm-hmm. I watched the first episode. Yeah. I don't think I've... Is the second episode?
It's only there's only one. Only one.
Okay, yeah.
Summer ruined the first episode.
I love the...
It's fucking tremendous.
I loved it when the guy was like, "Don't you dare Akira my child."
Yes. Yes. I like that he kept pronouncing the anime. Like, they kept hitting that hard. I was just like, this show...
I'm sorry. Tremendous. I was in from minute one when they were like, "Nope, no, we talked about this.
Yes.
That's not how you do things anymore." Listen. All right. Ask for consent.
Yes. All of this episode was fantastic. But right at the very end, to just bookend it with Summer ruining
the episode. Yeah, Summer ruining the episode was good.
What'd you say? You don't want to record everything. Play that back.
How isolate Summer's recording.
Oh, look at us. Why don't you just get married?
Oh.
And it brings them back together. They bond in just... getting upset with
progressively stupider. They keep finding ways to come up with science fiction concepts and running with them. This show is what you want from TV shows. You want someone with a clear vision and more things left to say. Like, you don't want to feel like the shows are just dragging on, which is a thing that a lot of American shows get very, very wrong.
Yeah, so it's sometimes annoying with, for example, I'm sure others, but because I watch a lot of British TV, that's where I feel it, where they're like one and done, or maybe if you're lucky, over the span of 15 years, you get two seasons, or series rather. And, you know, you hate it because there's so much, you love it so much, you want more, but then you see what happens when you get more in other instances. And sure, there are some people, some teams that are able to keep it going strong for long, but it's a minority.
Yeah, as you said, more than once, I remember what the last show that I watched, and it is sad that I almost forgot that I watched this. I watched End of the Fucking World. Season 2.
Oh, yes. That's probably why both of us forgot that, because we have spoken about it.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It is a disappointment.
Yeah. I'll say this. The teams played hard.
Yes.
Right? And there is some value to this season, right? It's actually, in its own right, good in a way, but...
If you benchmark it against normal TV, it is better than normal
TV. It's not what I wanted.
But that is not the name. I expect the expectations game is very weird, but it is very real. If I go into the End of the Fucking World season 2, I have to benchmark it against the first season, because they put a 2 at the end of this. And if it is not close, then I'm going to be very sad. Whether it is better than most other TV is not really the issue here. That is not what I came for. Now, can it pull a Legion and get a final season and turn it around?
Sure.
Maybe. But most shows, once they dip, never return. Unless, say, you have HBO's unlimited budget and you decide to alienate
Dragons.
Every single person that loved your TV show for 6 years. If you're willing to do that, then you can turn the ship around. most people aren't willing to do that. Or do it with Star Wars. There's people who hated a couple of those new Star Wars movies or didn't find it as good when I saw
a lot of people hate that last one.
Yeah.
Which I don't so understand.
I wonder
I should probably buy those.
There was Rouge One that people didn't enjoy, but they hit the light speed thing through the ship, and that is still one of the most striking visuals I've ever seen put on film. And the fact that like Star Trek or Star Wars didn't do it earlier, like that is a thing I thought. Like, from the first time I saw it, I was like, why wouldn't more people use this as a tactic? You know, launch into hyperspace to destroy whatever is in front of them. Yeah, it's a suicide thing, but you get to destroy whatever is in front of you. But to see it on screen, like, that visual alone makes me enjoy that movie time after. That is the...
It definitely counters the just hilarity... Mm-hmm. Of Leia flying in space.
Yes. Yeah. Rogue One is my favorite because it is the one where...
Did I like Rogue One? I feel like I'm on the fence for
right,
Rogue
I didn't One. See... I didn't realize...
Oh, no. Rogue One has the guy that I thought was British for a long time, yes. Right?
Rogue One was a suicide mission.
Yeah, I think I like Rogue One.
That ended poorly for everybody.
Yeah.
And watching that one... Especially because it ended on such
pretty much Han Solo that I don't like.
Right. It ended on such a somber note, but it also looked so spectacular. And, I mean, if you put Mads in anything...
Oh, Mads!
I would like it.
I forgot.
But a lot of diehard Star Wars fans were having none of it. And they also didn't... As you said, they didn't like the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the dirt off your shoulder moment alone... was worth the price of admission.
Listen, there were Pikachu in there. Like, yeah, cannot say to me that you watch Star Wars with Pikachu saying Pika Pika mm-hmm. all the time and you don't like it. Come on.
But
the funny thing is, mm-hmm. depending on who listens to this, there will probably be people upset with me for saying that.
And
they'll be like, no, they are whatever they are.
Yeah, when it comes to Star Wars, there's people who are diehards, and I get it. Believe me, I get it. But the ones that I have liked the most are the ones that diehards like the least. And I think there's
Dieharder?
Yeah, I think there's a direct correlation. There's a direct link as to why. Because the things they loved are the things they're not getting, which sucks. If you love something that much and they're changing the thing.
Like the ones that you like.
Yeah, but there's also people who were, they didn't like Rogue One.
I think the only one that has some level of...
Han Solo is the one that was bad. So we're not talking about that.
No. What I'm saying is I think the only one, I think the main one that has like some sort of consensus behind I hate it is the last Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? The one that Rian Johnson did.
Yeah.
The last
Return
Jedi?
Of the last of the rising of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's weird. I actually think it's the other way around. I think most people, or maybe it's, the thing is, it feels to me like... non-critic people like hate that movie.
Oh, okay.
But like critically, that movie is loved, like The Last Jedi.
Really? Okay. Okay, that's well, that's good then.
I mean, not really. But, alienating if
but I know that there were petitions yeah. for them to remake the movie.
That's worthless.
Oh my god! Oh, that is just spectacular.
Oh boy. So Andrew, you usually can save this podcast from us talking about sports and three TV shows. What have you seen?
So I don't really have much to talk about.
God damn it,
Andrew. I only have one thing to really talk about. And in all honesty, I feel like it's not too far from the discussion of TV shows, but it really isn't a TV show. This I feel is like a Twin Peaks conversation where everyone is going to have the debate, is it TV, is it a movie? And we're all going to be like, fuck you guys, just pick and move on. I went and I saw Martin Scorsese's The Irishman.
Oh, it's a movie.
I'm really making a dumb joke because it's for Netflix. It's really fucking long. It's 3.5 hours long. The guy could have just made this a fucking 4-episode TV series and been done with it.
He just strung them back to back.
He just told me to sit down in one go. Yeah. Which is what Netflix typically tells you anyways. Yeah. So, you know, feel how you want to feel.
He just took out the skip intro outro button.
Oh, speaking of skip buttons, when you're finished, we can talk about a bad comedy special.
Listen, you knew, what's this, Seth Rogen?
Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers was going to be bad.
Yeah, but you anyway, don't have to tell anybody that. Andrew, I want to hear about The Irishman.
Yes, because I hear that movie is great.
Yeah, and I cannot wait. I think it's another week or so until
it comes like out another Netflix. Week. It's probably on Netflix. Oh.
I thought you were going to say another week till it comes out here. I was like,
well, it will come out here.
Douglas,
on Netflix.
Yeah, I was like, Douglas, don't be ridiculous.
Surprisingly, first Scorsese film with Al Pacino in it. I didn't realize this until I saw it. I started thinking about it, and yeah, I'm like, has right. Pacino been in a Scorsese film? He hasn't until now.
Yeah, it was only
Michael
actors.
Mann that did shit like put two stars in the same movie.
Scorsese couldn't afford it.
He already had too many people.
Paying cinematographers to make his movies look pretty. Cook! Damn it!
Oh boy. We get into that time in the podcast where Damien's like, all right, I'm going to just pay attention to the sports.
That part was, I was paying attention the whole time, but James has been shooting from like the half. So I thought if it went in a while ago, it would have been spectacular, but it did not. Yes. Anyways, The Irishman.
Yes, The Irishman. So this film is about The Irishman. It's about a mobster who gets the lucky life of growing old. And he's now telling his tale to us as an old man, played by Robert De Niro. And he tells us his story all the way from being a truck driver who randomly runs into mob people and starts selling steaks out of his truck to eventually becoming a hitman to eventually working with this mob really closely. Has Joe Pesci in it. When last did we get to see Joe Pesci in a movie? And it involves the wonderful thing we like to talk about, which is de-aging technology in 2019. Yeah. Because that's what movies are now. I'm sorry, I'm not complaining. The movie itself is way too fucking long. Like, I wonder if I would be less upset if it actually was a 4-episode series where you felt like, all right, you know, it's a series. They had some filler content, but for the most part, you're fine. I don't know if this is how you guys generally feel about long movies, where with movies, you feel more critical of their length than if it was just a TV show that took too long to get around to it, where you're like, I could have paused in the middle, taken a few days off, come back to episode 3 and been okay with it. But this movie is way too long. It doesn't have enough. And this movie is very much Scorsese almost saying goodbye to mob movies. I don't know how long it's been since he's really done a mob movie. But it feels so much like, I feel like so much of this movie is self-referencing to just random mob movies. Or even just general Scorsese films. There's a point in this movie where De Niro is like planning out how he's going to do a hit on someone he has to kill. And he's like he lays out all his guns on the bed and starts picking them out, going like, I don't need anything that loud or that big. And it reminds me a lot of Taxi Driver. And then there are moments in this movie with Pacino that remind me of Godfather, and not because of Pacino specifically, but because of like all of the staging around it. And there moments in this movie that remind me of Goodfellas for obvious reasons, because it's Scorsese doing a mob movie, so obviously he's going to have a scene where you have a camera rolling through a club and just kind of introducing you to a lot of people that just made me think of Goodfellas. And all of that is there, but I don't think this is a good movie. I know I don't like this movie is that it got to the point where I started wanting to talk about how the acting looked off. And I don't want to call it bad specifically, but let me explain something to you. They're using a lot of this de-aging technology so that they can have Robert De Niro be all ages. Be from 30 all the way up to 120 at the end of this movie, or however old he is. But still, it's still Robert De Niro, I believe, actually doing the physical acting throughout all of this movie. There is a scene in this movie when the character is supposed to be like 35 or 40. Yes. And it is a scene which could have been straight out of Goodfellas, where his daughter comes and tells him that the shopkeeper at the corner said something nasty to her. And of course, like in all these Scorsese mobster movies, this means that Robert De Niro has to go and do bad things to the shopkeeper, right?
Right.
We watch this happen. If you watch the movements of Robert De Niro,
it is obvious
an old man is doing this.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people say the same thing. Where they're right? Like, all right, you de-aged him, but he still moves like he's 100 years old.
Oh my.
Right. And those things stand out so freaking hard.
I can imagine.
Right. So it's all fun and games when we're talking about Captain Marvel and we're talking about Sam Jackson, who, I mean, he's definitely older than he was when he was doing Do the Right Thing and shit. But he's not hit that point where he can't look up, he can't actually run like a normal person would run.
Actually, in the article I read, apparently he has reached that age and they used computers to make it look like he hasn't. So apparently they actually did something to, because I guess he actually did the acting, but they did something to make him look like he wasn't old in terms of his movements.
Less
so,
geriatric.
Yeah, there was actual tweaking to his movements digitally.
They call it Kojima.
Well, maybe Scorsese needed to talk to the Marvel people, but apparently they're not on talking terms, right?
Well, obviously, Netflix said to Scorsese, listen, we know you want to make this movie. We know you want to make the longest movie ever made. Just do me one favor. Remember, we're Netflix. We don't make good movies. It's going to be bad.
Right.
So clearly, Netflix broke Scorsese.
Actually, oddly enough, I want to stand on the side of I think Scorsese broke Scorsese. Because, I mean, Scorsese to me, like, a lot of his movies are really long. We've seen them, right?
Yeah.
But he has been in this mode of working with studios where at the end of the day, no matter how big his name is, somebody's there tapping him on the shoulder saying, hey, we kind of need to tone this down a touch. And then, you know, like, it's one of those things where when we talk about directors and filmmakers and stories, we always kind of make it sound like this one man thought this thing perfectly and did this thing. But at the same time, the collaboration of many people kind of make things better sometimes. And I feel this is a case of Netflix telling Scorsese, go and do what you want. And just nobody telling him fair. Like, nobody saw 3 hours and 30 minutes and went, maybe we need to edit this.
Absolutely. Right? Netflix cast and to Scorsese, you know, your mind.
But yeah, I mean, there are many things I do like about this movie. I mean, there's a Bobby Cannavale in this movie, so I like that. Oddly enough, Joe Pesci, who plays the least Joe Pesci character ever, mainly because he's now old and can't do the things we love about him, where he just fly uppercut somebody for the sake of it. Can't do that anymore, even if they de-age him, like he's still an old man. But I really liked Joe Pesci's character and him playing that role. There is the Ray Romano bits, which you see a lot in the trailer, which is pretty great. And Al Pacino knows how to ham it up. like no one's business, right?
Yes, he does.
Yep. Right. This is just a. This is just a really fucking long movie, and Douglas, I know you'll try and watch this movie nonetheless. Yeah. I'm willing to bet you it'll take you 2 weeks to finish it.
Probably.
Not because it's long or because of your specific time constraints, but because you'll watch 40 minutes and be like, eh, I'll go and do something else. And well, come back like the next day.
One thing I will say for the length, so I hear you, right? And I can definitely see that. It's almost like an Apocalypse Now scenario where, you know, we had too much money and too much. I can't remember the exact quote, but, you know, essentially they went mad. And that's what Scorsese could be doing here. One thing I will say is you and I will be watching this under completely different circumstances. You went to fancy cinema to watch it.
Yes, where I could not leave.
Exactly. You could not leave. You didn't feel... Maybe you feel relaxed there, but it's not your yard, right? And yes, the screen is amazing and awesome and looks good, but it's still not your yard. I will be at my yard on my couch with my coffee or my drinks or my chips or whatever it is. And so I think that might make me a little more receptive to... less good Scorsese, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
We shall see.
My fingers are crossed, especially because, as with Damien, I have seen nothing but good things about this movie.
Yeah, I heard this movie was good. I'm surprised.
I am 90% sure that Damien, if I put you to work, you could make a good version of this movie. It just needs a lot of cutting.
Okay.
And then, like, it's one thing when we talk about, like, a 2 hour and 15 minute movie that feels that way. It's another thing when it's 3.5 fucking hours.
Yes.
So by the time you kind of get to the point where you're like, you could edit this down, man, like, you still have 2 hours to go, and you're like, oh.
Not like this. Well, that's disappointing. So no one watched anything good this week, that's bad.
I mean, we watched The Farewell, Damien.
Oh, no, yeah, that doesn't come.
I watched Jeff Garlin.
So that's done.
Daniel Sloss?
I've been watching from the beginning. I've been watching Big Little Lies again. Reese Witherspoon is awesome in that show. Almost just as empty as you think I am. A penny for your thoughts. A wooden pair of happiness, a pretty Ricky Ross. I made black music. I woke up in my sympathy, became black Judas. All my everything's for sale. All my secondhand discoveries, dungarees, faded pale. All my halfway hallelujahs are tippy-toed in the mail. All the fluctuations on scales and the missing therapy sessions. The bullets treating me well, well, we don't drink that. If it ain't the top shelf, Nikki, you can keep that. Share my life on telephone. I'm 25 and 306 and 809 became my home. Gave you a taste of my redemption. Now I want my drink back. Somebody hold me like I'm almost enough. Somebody told me pray for heaven. So how tiny it was.